Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. How are things going in your world, Mr. Stone?
I am doing well. What a gorgeous day. The rain has gone away for a little bit. The ants are out of my mailbox. Did you have that phenomenon at your house?
Yes. I don't know what it was. A few days ago, we were swarmed with ants. I thought it was the sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah, no kidding. But what a gorgeous day. And this is going to be a fun segment on Atlanta Business Radio. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Danielle and Nicole with Little Pink Book. They've got an exciting
event coming up.
And they do great work all year. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce COO with Any Lab Test Now, Miss Clarissa Bradstock. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
So, like, right now, like, quick, fast, right? This is, tell me about this name and, more importantly, what it is you guys are out there doing for
and
folks.
What's in your car right now?
Yeah.
Well, with Any Lab Test Now, what we do is we do clinical toxicology and DNA testing. Folks can come straight into our facilities and request different types of clinical tests, cholesterol test, hormone test, STD testing, as well as paternity testing with the DNA and toxicology. We work with a lot of employers, physicians, attorneys, and so forth. So,
now, how did you get involved with this group?
I have been the COO since we started franchising the concept back in 2007.
Oh, so this started out as just somebody doing lab tests?
Right. It started here in Atlanta with a gentleman, Dr. David Perlow, and he now has 13 locations here in Atlanta. And it looked like just a great a business to franchise. And so we've taken it all over the country. We have over 150 locations throughout the U.S.
And then so how do you grow something from one store to 100?
Oh, boy, it can be quite a challenge, quite frankly, to grow that rapidly because we've done that over the last, 5.5 years.
Wow.
And it's all about getting great franchisees who come into the system, mm-hmm. who really build the brand, really hire quality people. And,
do they have to be doctors, franchisees?
Nope, the franchisees do not have to be physicians. As a matter of fact, about 75% of our franchisees do not have any healthcare background at all, so.
But they do have to wash their hands regularly.
Absolutely.
I saw that
in
the brochure.
Yeah.
So, and who are these franchisees? Are they marketing to? Are they marketing to doctor practices or directly to the end user consumer?
It's both. Actually, we work with physicians. Physicians will send us their uninsured patient base, their high deductible patients with health savings accounts, because we are more cost effective than going to the other alternatives out there. So we do work with the physicians, yet consumers can also come in directly into our facilities and order the test directly without having to see a doctor first, because the doctor's order is included. So
that's the magic sauce, though. You got to get in good with these doctors, build good relationships, do good work for them, turn these tests mm-hmm. around in a timely manner, and provide mm-hmm. accurate results. But that's, as I understand it, that's not as straight a path as it used to be. In the old days, aren't there some new rules about how you can talk to doctors? And you can't buy them stuff anymore, right?
Absolutely.
It's like a lobbyist.
Yep. It's called the Stark Law, and the mini Stark Law in some of the states is that you can't give them any incentives. So we pride ourselves that they want to send their patients to us because we provide the best price and the best service.
Now, what's the challenge when you're franchising? Is it to get the right franchisee, or what's your biggest challenge?
Yeah, the biggest challenge in franchising is, getting the right people in place in the right markets, and then making sure that we're providing the service levels that they need so that they can support their customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so do you hang out with other people who run franchisors, I guess, like from completely different mm-hmm. industries and just trade best practices and share ideas and stuff?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm a member of the Women's Franchise Network, and we're having an event coming up on Tuesday. Wednesday.
I wasn't invited.
Yeah. So really, it's really interesting in franchising, even though you may be talking to a franchisor who's in, a whole different sector like food service and so forth. The challenges that you face in franchising is pretty consistent across the board with all franchise systems. So
now, have you personally been involved in franchising throughout your career?
No, actually, I have only been in franchising since 2007, so it was quite a shift for me to go from the more customer-vendor type relationships that I had as executives in other companies, then going into franchising.
So has there been anything new, different, challenging, rewarding?
Oh, I tell you, I think the thing that is the most rewarding is knowing that we've been able to build a system where we've been able to employ over 300 people in this economy over the last five years. Yeah, so it's been very rewarding. And then also knowing, because we are in the healthcare sector, we get stories every day of how we've impacted and changed people's lives. So that's been real rewarding. But the change, it was a pretty significant change coming from I worked in healthcare, high tech primarily. So this was a change going into more of the service side of the business.
Right. And then what's some of those stories that you're getting that people say that your business has impacted their life? Can you share any of that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we had one that we just focused on a couple of weeks ago at our franchisee conference, which was really touching and brought all of us to tears. We had a gentleman who came into one of our locations in Utah. And he said he had been feeling a little bit under the weather, but nothing significant. And he thought, boy, maybe I should just get a lab test. He had just finished up a marathon. He was a triathlete. And he worked with the medical assistant. And she said, well, you know what? If you've been feeling just a little yicky, I'd really suggest this test. Or you could do a whole panel. You know, she can't diagnose because she's not a physician or anything. But she can suggest, you know, here's a couple of things. And he almost left. Because even though he was a triathlete, he was afraid of needles.
And plus he thinks, I'm in great shape. I just ran a marathon.
Exactly. Whatever, and he was afraid of needles. So they had to bring out the cot. I'm not kidding. They had to bring out the cot and lay him down to do the blood draw. Uh-huh. Well, 12 hours later, they got a call in the middle of the night that he needed to go to the hospital immediately. And he was a little bit resistant because he said, I'm in great shape. Everything's
fine. Right. What are you talking about? I just ran a marathon.
Well, you know, they convinced him that obviously you need to get to the hospital immediately, and he ended up having an acute form of leukemia. And he said if he hadn't been to our location and if she hadn't gently suggested how to get over the needle anxiety, that he probably would have died.
So he would have ignored it.
He would have ignored
it.
And
then it would have gotten much worse faster.
Right. It's a very aggressive, and he was planning to go out the next week to another marathon.
Right.
And his wife firmly believed that if they had gone out on that trip, that he would not have come back alive.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a very touching story. So those are the kind of stories. Wow.
I'm sure everybody must have been tears going
down
the
hall. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow. So recruiting and selecting franchisees, I got to believe that if nothing else, the stakes are certainly higher because, I mean, it certainly costs money if you recruit and select the wrong employee. But that's, you know, kind of a one-for-one. You recruit and select a franchisee and miss the mark on that.
You're kind of stuck with them, right?
You're really hurting your brand. So you guys must be really good at that. You have systems and processes for that?
Yep, we have systems and processes in place for finding the right folks for our system. And, you know, really what we're looking for at the end of the day is people that can come in that have the ability to go out and sell and to meet folks and to make contacts and so forth. Those are the folks that tend to do very well in our system.
You handle all of the lab testy stuff, right? They just have to be good in the community and make connections and meet people, right?
Absolutely. And what, you know, they're relying on their staff to be the actual person who does the blood draws and that kind of thing. So they don't have to, again, they don't have to have that healthcare background.
But I'm sure it could be very seductive. You know, I've worked at ABC Company for 30 years. I've got a 401k or I've got some money put away. And it looks like good income opportunity over here. Any lab tests now? And I got a cousin who has a friend who has a brother, second cousin in another state that's doing great with it. So I write the check. But, I mean, I'm sure you can't just take the check. You got to really put these people through your process. And then the other side of it is the training piece of it, right? Like you're looking for that aptitude. Right. But you must have that really dialed in, too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of what we do in our screening process with our franchisees, prospective franchisees, we encourage them to talk to existing franchisees, and we encourage our existing franchisees to share all aspects of the business.
Right. The good, the bad, the ugly,
yeah, tell them what your challenges are so that if they feel like they can't overcome that kind of challenge themselves, and they're
so then they kind of self-select themselves out of the equation right from the start.
Right. And then in regards to the training, it is you know, we have a lot of products and services that we provide to the community, so our training is intense. And we do ongoing training, ongoing webinars. We have a training portal, all kinds of things to keep it fresh. And as with any, you know, most businesses out there, everything, especially in healthcare, is changing. There are always new lab tests and so forth. So it's an ongoing process.
Well, and I can imagine we want initiative. We want you to be proactive and out there and doing it and do it our way.
And follow
that's
all
right.
the rules.
That's right. Right.
I mean,
that's
not everybody fits that mold, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what we really look for is, you know, folks want to go out and run their own business, but we're not looking for an entrepreneur from the standpoint that they want to be the creator of the concept.
Right.
People that come into that to the system like that really get frustrated because, you know, they're trying to make change. When
right,
we've
and
got
you have
a
methodology.
Works.
Just
right.
do what I say mm-hmm. here and everything mm-hmm. will be fine. Right. right. Mm-hmm. Now, so is it more like project manager type people that are good at task-oriented things?
As far as the franchisees?
Right.
It's like I said, it really is more of what we look for. The ideal profile is someone who has a strong sales marketing background mm-hmm. And a comfort level in going out and being active in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if they're really well networked within the community, they ramp up so much faster just because they can just reach out to all their contacts. And, you know, it's not just physicians, attorneys. We do a lot of, we work with private investigators.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a whole host of different businesses we work with.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the WFN?
Yeah, the Women's Franchise Network. We're real excited. We are having an event coming up on May 15th. And we've got...
Could you give background of that?
Yeah, the Women's Franchise Network is affiliated with the International Franchise Association.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a networking group for women.
That are franchisors?
That are franchisors or franchisees, or also suppliers to franchisees.
Oh, it's industry-wide.
Industry-wide.
Right.
Right, and we are here in the Atlanta market. We've been out there for a year or two, so we're just trying to get this chapter up and running.
How many people are in it right now?
We get about 30 to 40, 50 people at each event that we host.
Are you on the leadership of this group?
I'm on the leadership of the group, yep. Started the leadership committee this year with them.
So mm-hmm. now, what's it like getting that started? Is there a subset of women, only franchise people, that it warrants having their own group? What was the thinking there?
Yeah, it's just a network for us to kind of be casual, you know, a glass of white wine on a on a Wednesday night.
Is it educational? Like,
yeah.
is it networking? What's the kind of reason for being?
It's networking, and it is educational. We try to always have, when we have our meetings, a theme around it. It's also a way for us to learn different products, services, and so forth through the vendors that come to the event. So.
Mm-hmm. And what's an example? What happens at a given meeting?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the meeting that we're having next
week.
You
have one coming
fantastic.
Up, right?
Yep, we have it on Wednesday, May 15th.
It's and
from
the rhythm of it, is this monthly, quarterly?
Actually, we only do it two times a year because
okay.
we know that so many folks have so many things
right.
that we really want to focus in just two times a year. And the event next Wednesday, we have an exciting panelist. We've got Deb Evans, who is the owner of Deb Evans Consulting and the former CEO of Computer Explorers. Karen Spencer, who's a partner with Yay Burger, Linda Phillip, the CFO with Crystal, myself, and Kat Cole, the president of Cinnabon.
Uh-huh.
And what we're going to be focusing on is just life and career changes. You know, women today in the workforce, you know, it's just a lot of challenges that we face, as well as men, but especially balancing life,
right.
career changes,
family
and that kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, for you, how do you feel women fit into franchising as maybe their career, maybe they get to a certain point and they want to go out on their own? Where do you think franchising fits into that
kind
of career?
Oh, absolutely. It was with women and men, but yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. A lot of we do have many, many women franchisees that are at that situation that you just described. Maybe they were a pharmaceutical rep for, you know, 20 years,
right.
did really well in their career with the cutback in that particular field. They're looking for an opportunity where they can take their skill set to the next level, and they just love owning, you know, their own business
right.
and being involved. And the great thing about franchising, too, is for us and for our franchise owners, you know, you're part of a bigger entity, but it's very community-based.
Right. It's local, but you also have support nationally, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know you probably don't want to go on record with this, so I'll do it for you. But it's been our experience. Lee will agree with me. Women are just smarter. They're easier to work with. They produce better results.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you find – I mean, it's okay, certain
– That's been my experience.
There's this collaboration and sharing and, mm-hmm. and helping each other up kind of thing that you see a lot more in women's groups. At least we see it in women's networking groups.
Yeah,
it's very
yeah.
collaborative.
Yeah, it really is very collaborative.
Uh-huh.
And it is. I know you can look at the psychology and the neurology of mm-hmm. women versus men. And, and they, it's just different gifts mm-hmm. that you bring to the table.
Right.
So.
So Cat Cole, she mentioned Cat Cole. Yeah, we knew her way back when before she was Cinnabon famous, right? But I mean, she was still pretty high up in the Hooters like in training.
She has a great story.
And she's just a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. She's just a great person. Mm-hmm. She's a neat lady. So what advice, if any, would you offer someone considering this idea of becoming a franchisee, not necessarily of any lab tests now, just they're on that path. Some do's and don'ts that might save them a little heartache and get them on the right path for exploring this in a way that makes sense for them.
You know, that is a great question.
That was a fantastic question. I thought.
I think the key thing is for folks when they're looking for a franchise opportunity, look for something that you're passionate about and that you enjoy doing. If you like home decorating, then maybe a house painting franchise could really be of interest to you. Do your homework, really, and do talk to the franchisees out in the system. Make sure that you listen to them and listen to the pros and cons. Make sure you have enough capital, because you do want to make sure that you can fund the business for a period of time and put the effort toward the marketing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, go out and visit the facilities. And then meet the management team of the franchise organization and make sure that there's a personality click, too, as well, and that you feel like you can get along and work with these folks day in and day out.
This has been a lot of fun. You got to come back. You got to come back with an Any Lab Test Now franchisee if you have some.
I would love to.
You have some.
Wouldn't
here
that be
in
a cool
Atlanta?
Show?
No, actually, we don't have any in Georgia. Dr. Perlow owns the rights to all of the state of Georgia, but we have several in the southeast, and I'd love to bring somebody back.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would. That'd be a lot of fun.
That way you can kind of give that 360 kind of view
right.
of it.
That'd be great. Fantastic.
So we'll make that happen if Kevin will let us.
And if somebody wanted, is it too late to go to that event?
It's not too late to register for the event on Wednesday night, and I would just ask people to shoot me an email at clarissa.bradstock@anylabtestnow.com, and we'll get you on the list if you want to attend. And it is going to be, again, Wednesday, May 18th from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's in Sandy Springs here in Atlanta at the Glen Ridge Connector at the Moe's headquarters. We're going to be in their test kitchen, so it's going to be exciting.
Oh, wow. That'll be fun just to go for that.
Yeah, they're going to be hosting it and providing the food, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, if somebody wanted to join that organization, is there a website for that group, or that's part of the IFA?
It's part of the IFA, but they can just shoot me an email as well, and I can get some information on the group as well.
All right, so let's get those contact coordinates, those you're willing to share on the air, for people that want to visit with you individually and or just want to learn more about maybe franchise opportunities with Any Lab Tests Now.
Okay.
AnyLabTestNow.com, is that the website?
Yep, the website is AnyLabTestNow.com, like you said, and we do have my information is on that website. Folks I'd be delighted if they want to just shoot an email to the contact us to me directly, and I'd be happy to answer any questions folks have.
Well, thank you so much.
What a delight having you in the studio. We're going to have you back. We're going to get some Any Lab Tests Now, folks, or maybe some more people with the IFA. This is
an interesting group.
Now, this is stuff our listeners they need to know about. Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
I would love to.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Danielle Jackson and Nicole Williams with Little Pink Book. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi. Hello.
So, Danielle, tell us a little bit about this Little Pink Book. You have events as well, but you do stuff all year long, don't you?
We do. We host events twice annually. The spring is more geared towards entrepreneurs and those interested in starting their own businesses. We have some people that are interested in franchising as well, so it's ironic that we're sharing a little time together. And then the fall event is more geared towards C-suite executives, senior level women who are heading up the Fortune 500, 100 companies throughout the country and internationally.
That sounds like fun work. Now, how did you get into this racket? Have you ever had a real job?
That was a good one, actually. I started as an intern at Little Pink Book.
Oh, wow.
When it was Pink Magazine. And that's been about 6.5 years ago. So it's been lots of fun.
You've stuck with it for a while.
Yeah, I was there when it was print, and I was a part of the transition to the digital space. And then I started working on events, which I love. And so I like to call all the events now my babies because I'm a part of every...
So now what happens at this? There's an event coming in May, right?
Correct. It's actually on Monday.
Oh, this Monday, right?
Yes. Yeah, so right after Mother's Day, after you have dinner with Mom, then you come hear about how to start your own business and make mom even more happy.
So now, can you walk us through like maybe the agenda or what's going to happen at the event?
Absolutely. So the event will be Monday, May 13th at the Intercontinental Buckhead. And it will be, the core of the event is the panel luncheon, in which we'll have this year five panelists who will talk about everything, including balance, which is a major thing for women. We'll be discussing topics on Lean In, so the whole conversation around Sheryl Sandberg and women kind of moving forward and progressing their careers. We will be discussing lessons that the women have learned in starting their businesses, some mistakes they've made. We don't like to say mistakes, but some learning maneuvers that they've made, and some advice. It's very candid, very open conversation. I like to say it's very conversational, so people don't feel like it's very scripted.
Right.
So we'll have the panel luncheon. That's the core. But then we'll also have more smaller breakout sessions in the morning that will be more intimate, because obviously we'll have attendees who don't feel comfortable talking in front of groups of, 200 or more people, but they still have really good questions.
Right.
So the sessions will be around things like digital dollars, how to market and promote their companies, mm-hmm. If they're doing that on a very small financial budget. We'll also talk about social media. That's a big space for businesses now. The other session in the morning, we'll talk about the legal ramifications of starting your business, things you need to know in terms of financing your business, et cetera. So you'll come and you'll get pretty much everything you need.
So, Nicole, are you helping to birth some of these babies and provide for the care and feeding of these babies?
I am, just a little. I'm more so responsible for the copy and everything you see, all of the writing. Danielle's the brains behind all of it. She really does a great job.
Oh. So now, what's the profile of an attendee? Are they kind of aspirational entrepreneurs? Are they corporate people that are looking for a change? Who typically attends?
It's a good mix. I would say that it's a mixture of people who know for sure that they're interested in being their own boss. It's also, I think, it has to do with the economy and people kind of thinking towards their future and having something to call their own. You know, you feel like you worked at a company for so many years, you have a 401k, but you feel unfulfilled. So we'll have attendees who have decided, I want to have something that is really helping me and benefiting my family and has longevity regardless of the market or the economy. So we'll have people like that are kind of in transition there. And then we'll have people who have been just displaced, whether they've been laid off or, whatever happens within larger corporations or companies. So it's mm-hmm. a good mix of demo.
Now, throughout the year, Little Pink Book has an ongoing, email or a newsletter that comes out?
It's a daily newsletter. Yes.
And can you talk a little bit about that? What's on that?
Yes, our daily Pink Notes, they have different themes for each day. So on Mondays, it's really geared towards entrepreneurs. Tuesdays are personal finance. Wednesdays are more for someone who's kind of in the corporate world, so how to advance their career. On Thursdays, we really try to help women out with work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And then Fridays, something fun, related to fashion or style, travel, just things that help enrich their personal lives.
What a fantastic resource. So are there any pink guys? I mean, can I still get on the email? Because, this is good information. I don't care what your gender is.
No, it's more so like a daily cup of Jane than Joe.
Right.
That's so you're going to write that down? Can I steal that?
I just looked at her like, I love that.
They get it in their inboxes every morning. And, it's really designed to inspire, encourage, and inform women in different ways. So we like to,
I bet you have a Terry or something like that that's actually a guy, and he's just getting all this great information. You think it's a woman?
Actually, we have a guy on our team, Dan Pius.
Yeah.
He was actually on The Amazing Race.
Oh, cool. Wow.
And he is a part of our great team at Pink. So we have one guy.
Yeah. That's enough. Right?
That's the max out.
So I interrupted you, but you have just a lot of cool stuff. So say more about the kinds of things that you...
Oh, we do. Well, we try to really give women, specific information. So for entrepreneurs, exactly how to market yourself online, different social media tricks. And then we also like to discuss the issues that affect women and start conversations around things. So, we'll talk about things like maybe dad staying at home if the mom's the breadwinner. Or, so we try to delve into the social side of it also.
Now, do you spotlight certain groups? You have an upcoming, I believe, an upcoming women's CFO list?
We do. Throughout the year, we try to spotlight and create different lists, you know, highlighting the women in prominent positions. So we'll have our annual CFO list coming out in June, which will feature, I'll give you one sneak peek, Home Depot's Carol Tomei, who's the CFO, just America's, you know, leading ladies in finance at the Fortune 100.
Now, and this little pink book isn't an Atlanta thing, right? That's a national?
Exactly. It's national. We have readership in California, Washington, D.C., right. Just really all around the country.
So it's not just local Atlanta news. This is national news, right?
We actually reach 130 countries. So it's not even just national. It's international.
Wow. And it's social media or some sort of technology-aided way for people to interact. You got some of that stuff going on too, right?
Yes, of course. If people are interested in following Little Pink Book, we are on Twitter, on Facebook, and on
LinkedIn
as at Little Pink Book or as Little Pink Book. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the gamut.
But with an organization that broad, that wide, and offering so many resources, you've probably got them talking to each other a lot too, not just back and forth with you, right?
I mean, oftentimes they're very, very engaged in conversation. So when we kind of butt in with the information, they're kind of like, can we finish?
But you can be a great catalyst. All this great content can be the catalyst for then two CFOs or whatever to...
Exactly. And that's what it's designed for, to start conversations, to expose women to different things, for women to see other women in these positions. Because when you see that, then you have something to aspire to. You know, you have something to measure.
So yeah. We didn't get your backstory.
Oh, well, let's see. I actually started off completely in digital. I started off as a digital media project manager at a trade publishing company, working on around 30 publications at the same time. They were really interesting, mm-hmm. from like the National Asphalt and Pavement Association to the Interior Design, American Society for Interior Designers. And then I transitioned into freelance writing and blogging. I wrote some commentary for the New York Times Room for Debate section, lots of opinion commentary, which was really enjoyable, and then transitioned into the senior editorial role at Pink.
Wow, good stuff. Now, does Pink have some partnerships with other organizations?
Oh, absolutely. That's a long list, actually. If you're visiting our website, there's a page dedicated to our partners. Uh-huh. Obviously, they're national and international, but some of the partners that you'll see at the Pink event on Monday will be representatives from NABO, National Association of Women.
Business owners.
Right. I missed the B. Excuse me. Sorry. we'll have, lots of organizations like that are obviously in the niche of entrepreneurship for this event on Monday. But across the gamut, we look for organizations that are reaching women and affecting women in large ways in terms of their growth in companies and even starting their own businesses.
So tell me about this Facebook contest thing you got going on. Once again, something I can't enter, I'm thinking, but maybe I'll put my wife Holly on it.
The Canyon Ranch Facebook contest. What it is we really, at Pink, we want to encourage women to live a beautiful career and life. So for some women, that is entrepreneurship. That's how they find that balance with their lifestyle and their work. And so we're helping to encourage women to follow their passions and their dreams. So women entrepreneurs can upload kind of a cute, funny photo of themselves living their dreams. And it's a photo contest. So, you know, they go out in their social media channels and try to gather as many votes as they can. And whoever wins gets, it's a week, right, Danielle?
Yeah, a week at Canyon Ranch.
Wins a week at Canyon Ranch.
Did you have to go there to do kind of location scouting?
You got to check it out. You can't just willy-nilly.
I think we should talk to Cynthia about that, actually.
I think so, too.
You can't send somebody over there without checking it out, right?
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
That just wouldn't be right.
So I know right now front and center is this upcoming event.
Yes.
But beyond that, where's your energy, effort, thinking, focus going to be over this over the months ahead?
Over the months ahead, we'll actually be having we'll be relaunching the site. We'll be redesigning and relaunching the site this summer. So that will be really interesting. Uh-huh. It'll be really fun. We're planning on adding some new content to it, expanding on our Pink Notes. And really bringing in more video and interviews.
Your Business Radio X interview, you'll have that up there,
exactly,
I imagine. Right?
Exactly.
They'll really turn the corner when they post that.
Now, this must be, Nicole, this must be really rewarding for you, because now you get to, your career is really get to, you get to play with all the toys in this role, right?
Yes, yes. I, like I said, all of my experience is in the digital space, and so I have experience kind of doing the video and the images, and so for me it is really exciting. I like what the digital world offers you as far as editorial, and so I'm really excited to expand on the great stuff that we already have.
And this event on May 13th, is it too late to get tickets, or is it a closed?
Absolutely not. And we actually have a discount that's special for your listeners today. So we're offering $25 off of the ticket price, which is usually $95, as long as they use the code radio.
All right.
Radio is the code.
That'll get you in just about anywhere.
Yeah.
That's why I wear the shirt with the logo on all the time.
And the next, after this May event, I'm sure as soon as this thing finishes up, you're out to work for your next one, right?
It never ends. All the joys.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more about Little Pink Book, is there a website?
Absolutely. Visit us at littlepinkbook.com. And like I said, we're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of those fun
Pinterest.
Social medias. We are on Pinterest as well.
Yes, that's
we
my
favorite.
We
pin quite a bit.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.